a verse in the Bible you probably don't like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 17:9 says, "Our heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked, and who can even know it?" So really the Bible teaches that we don't know our own motives for certain. We can think they are. I've learned a long time ago, do what I do and not analyze it. Don't start thinking about, is that going to add to my rewards? Because then I think you're already in the wrong area. I can tell you how to lose a reward. Number one, you boast about it.
Oh yeah.
You already got your reward.
That's right.
Commit suicide, you lose all your rewards. So, but I think it's important to know that how we live our life and what we do here has eternal consequences. I think many people believe that getting saved is it. Just getting saved. And I've got my ticket to heaven.
That's true.
But you see, Judy had suggested that we study heaven. And so I've been contemplating on it already. But you know, one of the main things about that whole thing, yes, it's a place, it's a literal place. But it's more important who's there. Because you see, wherever Jesus is and walking with you, in a sense, you're in heaven. Right?
There you go.
Because it's more of a person than a place, but it is a place and it is a person.
Well, it was a lot easier for me when I was religious than being a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
It was go to confession on Saturday night.
Because you weren't
over again.
Because you weren't in sanctification mode. Okay, why don't you continue? Somebody continue with horse number two, the red horse. Back to chapter 6 of Revelation.
We all have food in our mouths.
Oh.
And another, a red horse went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and the men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him.
Okay, so now we have the red horse. Each horse symbolizes something. The white horse with the Antichrist symbolizes
conquest.
Pardon?
Conquest.
No, the white horse symbolizes not conflict.
We study
conquest.
Conquest.
No.
No.
Not the white.
The white horse we're talking about.
White is
Revelation 19:11.
I'm going back to the white horse. What is the symbol? Now what is he's going to conquest, yeah, but that's what he's going to do.
Peace. Authority.
Huh? Authority. Yeah, the crown would be his authority.
Yeah. Unparalleled form of world peace.
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 Purity. You know, a positive.
Yeah,
right?
Authority.
Okay, and we see that with the crown. Now, let's go back to that in detail here a little bit. I know God is sovereign. So ultimately, God allowed him to have authority, right? That crown. But who really gave him the crown? Well, we know about the Antichrist. He was a little horn that came up among three, and he plucked them up by the roots. So he crowned himself.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
And then the others submitted to him.
He just took them.
Yes, right.
Aggressively.
Right. Well, Hitler did the same thing. He was elected as chancellor, but later he crowned himself. Right?
Yeah.
Right, by eliminating the competition and the laws of governance.
How come it says a crown was given to him?
Right.
Don't you think Satan has something to do with this?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
He's given but, him his power.
Yeah. It was given to him, but it was given to him because they didn't want to fight him. If he gained control of 3 of the 10 zones or whatever, the other 7 gave him. But they gave him because he'd already, in a sense, plucked the others up, meant that he had overpowered them.
Yeah, they capitulated.
Right. So yes, to be real technical here, is that they submitted to him, so, and in a sense, crowned him, gave him the final whatever. But in a sense, he really crowned himself. The other was a perfunctory thing, you know. They figured they better do it or else he'll pluck them up. Right. So how you want to look at it?
So Satan, is Satan familiar with everything that you've got on the board?
Oh, sure.
And then source.
But we remember, Satan doesn't empower the Antichrist until the center of the tribulation. So I think we will, of course Satan's already behind it, but he doesn't demonize him at that point.
I mean, doesn't he go into him?
Yes, he demonizes him.
Yeah,
but not at this point. So look at the white horse in that way. Now look at the red horse. That the red horse is going to be doing what? What was given to him?
Taking peace from the earth.
The what?
The what? He was given
taking
a sword.
Peace to the earth, from the earth. Given a sword.
A sword.
Yeah, he was given a sword.
Right. The other was given a crown, authority, ruling, and this guy is going to have a sword. So, what does that imply?
War.
War. And the war is a shedding of blood. That's why the horse is red.
Right.
Right. Now, the rest are very logical. Because what usually follows war?
Right. Death.
It's famine.
Famine.
And famine leads to death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So let's read the third horse then. Read it with the actual John and so on.
And when he broke the third seal, John heard the third living seraphim saying, "Come," and John looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it, who was, and he had a pair of scales in his hand.
Okay, now we have a whole different thing is the scales. Think of the scales, you know, the old general store had scale where the scale of justice, you know, a picture mm-hmm. of that kind. You put a weight on one side. You got something here and here. All right. So something is going to be weighed out or measured. Right, so now we know exactly what it is because it says what? We can continue. Can you use a microphone so up here we could hear it?
Doris?
Yeah, Doris, want to continue Doris. With the black horse.
Wow.
Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, then you haven't finished it.
Okay. And when he broke the third seal, John heard.
Is that working?
And John looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard as if it were a voice, and John heard as if it were a voice in the center of the four living seraphim, saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine."
Okay, now a denarius was a day's wage for the average person. So, interpreting that, to get the barren essentials, it's going to take a day's wage to put food on the table. But it said, then, what about the wine and the oil?
Don't
bother with it. What's it saying?
Drink and be merry.
The average person cannot afford them. The luxuries in life are gone for most people. All right, so at that point, how would you describe the financial situation in the world?
Very bad, yeah.
Well, okay, but what specifically?
Collapse.
Well, what specifically?
Depression.
People are starving.
Okay, but what would it be?
Bankruptcy.
Famine.
No. Well, okay, there's a shortage of food. What does it do?
Causes riots.
Okay, it's going to cause rioting. It's also going to cause escalation of prices. That's inflation, true. High inflation. That's and the true. Shortage of food. Well, when war is going on, crops are destroyed. People can't get to work the fields and everything else. That always happens. There is enough land, producing land in the world to feed the world over and over again. But there are areas like in Ethiopian places where there's been famine because of war, civil war on and on again, and it interrupts the food production. And Iraq used to be a number one date producer, but after all the wars in Iraq, they lost a lot of their date production, and many of the trees had already been propagated in the U.S. right here in Arizona. If you remember down where the 101 crosses, what is that? First, is that First Street in Tempe and 8th in Mesa? That street, you know, down where Riverview Mall is.
Yeah, right.
And that goes across there. Well, you couldn't get through there years ago. And it was really junky back on the Tempe side. Well, on this side of 101, where all those apartments are there, that was a date farm owned by ASU. And a friend of mine was horticulturist and dealt with it. You know, they had dates from all over the world there, these trees, that they were preserving because it was happening in the Middle East. And eventually they could take offshoots and go back. You cannot raise a date tree by the seed. You can't eat a date, take the seed and plant it. You'll get a tree, but it won't produce dates. You have to get the offshoots. They put another shoot up and they chisel it off and you just stick it in the ground and it becomes a tree. That's how it works.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
During World War II, we had food rationing coupons here in America.
Yeah.
So, and during World War I, they had soup lines, like in Chicago and New York, the big city. And it wasn't that we didn't have any food, but we didn't have the distribution or supply line to get the food to where it was needed.
Sure.
Because they didn't make any automobiles during World War II. Everything was for the war effort.
Right. Well, you remember what happened on 9/11 when they grounded all the planes. That would interrupt mail and other kinds of shipping and whatever. It doesn't take much. You know, the more, quote, sophisticated society becomes, it becomes a very dependent society. From independence to interdependence to dependent. And so, if the supply stops, then the grocery stores run out and we have an issue, right? If you remember, Johnny Carson years ago wanted to prove a situation. And he made up the idea that toilet paper was going to have, there's going to be a tremendous shortage in toilet paper within 3 weeks. And there was, because people went out and bought it all up and then they couldn't keep it stocked because they know how much is sold. Today with computers, when you buy something, it goes off the inventory, so they know exactly what's supposed to be left on there. So they can order based on the supply and the need, right? So that would all be interrupted, okay?
Let me say this too. About shortages of food supply. One of the last people in the world that you would ever expect to be starving in food would be a farmer. And the farmer today is going to the marketplace to buy food like everybody else. So he will be just as dependent on sources available as we are.
Yeah, well, back then, time World War One, I think 80% of the people were on farms. But farms were very diversified. Most farmers had chickens to eat and for eggs, and they had hogs, and they had geese, and they had milk cows, and so they, today it's crop farming. They've got rid of a lot of that. So, yeah, they can't do much with their hard corn, you know, grind it up, I guess. Yeah. Mel?
Yeah. Paul?
Mike?
I have heard a number of times that there is only a 3-day supply of food for Phoenix, the Phoenix area. The distribution centers are in LA. So if the trucks stop running, if there's no transportation, mm-hmm. within 3 days, the shelves mm-hmm. will be empty in all of the stores.
Sure. Well, another thing too, if you remember traveling through the Midwest, you saw those butler tanks on farms, those bins, the storage bins. And we used to have, I think, a year or more supply of the grains. And the government quit doing something with that. And now you don't see many of that. You see the granaries and things. But so I don't know even there how much supply we have. So it's totally different.
It gets back to water. When we dropped those two atomic bombs on Japan, and their houses are very flimsy. They're just, you know, with the power thrust of the bomb, it just blew everything down on them. They were pinned to the ground before anybody could get them. If they had water, they could have survived for a couple of weeks with water alone. That's how important water is.
Oh, yes. Well, you'll see in the upcoming wars what happens to that. Okay, let's go on to the... So now we have a situation where there's been war going on, and there is... it's mostly conventional war. There's no indication it's nuclear at this point. And war resulting in shortages of food. And then we end up with the last horse. Somebody want to read?
When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living, of the fourth seraphim.
No, saying, go back and put in the words. John.
When Jesus opened the fourth seal, John heard the voice of the fourth living seraphim.
Fourth seraphim
saying, now mine says, come and see.
Okay.
So John looked and beheld a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth.
Okay, now we get to the fourth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously death is occurring because of the famine and such, but now we see that the pale. How many have pale? How many have ashen? You have a King James? I think it's Asher or Ashen horse. Right. So what color is it really?
An ash green.
Kind of grayish?
A green, ash green?
Yeah, kind of an ash green color. Pale green. You know, when you get sick, they say you look green.
You look pale.
Yeah, pale. Right. That's
ashen.
Right. Yeah. So, what's really happening here?
Death.
Death. A lot of people, when they look at it, they think black would be the death. No. Black's the famine, and the pale green is death. So we have in our four horses the apocalypse, and you're going to see this if you have the History Channel and some of those. Discovery, where they talk about end time things and the apocalypse and all that sort of thing, right? And they talk about these horses. There are many speculations on the horses. Well, if they just follow the Bible, they don't have to guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have the white horse identified with the Antichrist, and he has authority to go out and do things. And these other horses are working under him. Right? All right. And so then we get to the red horse of war, and then we get to the black horse with the scales showing that there's going to be high inflation, shortages of food as a result of the war. People are going to die with the sword. People are going to die with the famine. Probably the people dying with the sword will be what group of people? Not the Jews. They're protected until the second half. It's going to be those who... Remember, the 144 are preaching. Some will come to Christ and there'll be persecution. So probably he's going to go after the believers, the new believers, right, with the red horse. Because it doesn't talk about all this other, the fourth. Right? So now we get down to this pale green horse. Where is that coming from? If a fourth is going to be affected. Because remember that God is behind this, pouring out his wrath, but he's pouring it out through this. Make sense?
Yeah. Right. He granted the horseman.
Use the mic.
The authority. The,
yeah.
He granted the horseman the authority to bring death.
Right. God ultimately is behind it, yes, pouring out his wrath, but he is using the Antichrist. And so is Satan. Right? But there are things that are happening natural. We don't see evidence of the supernatural until we get into the next war. Where I saw a fiery missile, I saw this, I saw that, right? Okay. But look at the very... well, we'll get down there then. Okay, any questions on the horse situation?
Well, it's interesting to see in the fourth seal, even the animals are going to attack people.
Oh, yes. Now, but now, is this something literal, or is it that when it says the beast, how many have beast? Wild beast. Okay. Now, remember the Antichrist is referred to as a beast coming out of the sea and the false prophet, the beast coming from the land. Now, ask yourself this question. Is it symbolic of something else? Meaning these armies coming and doing these things? Or is it really the animal? Well, I think here it's obvious that it is the animal, because we know in other verses, and we're beginning to see the forerunner of that whole thing. Animals are starting to lose their fear of people.
Right.
Now, remember at the time of the ark, Noah did not run around the world gathering animals. God brought the animals to them.
Right.
Well, the same thing here. God can cause the animals to lose their fear, and so now people are dealing with that. Harry?
I just wonder, they talk about dying by the sword, but doesn't that really mean it could be explosives or any kind of... anything that armies would use?
Yeah.
I couldn't get it. Did somebody get it?
Yeah.
But it refers to explosives and other things besides the sword. Other types of death by shooting them or
explosives, so forth and so on.
Well, yeah, I don't think most people would be killed with a literal sword, but because John has seen it in his day, the sword was a major weapon. Yeah, yeah.
The beast cross references Leviticus 26:22. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children destroy your livestock and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate.
Yep.
These forest beasts.
And like you say, we're seeing it now. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, we're seeing that now as we approach on the territory. And there will be no, the prey, the normal prey of a larger beast will not be there. They will die in famine.
Sure.
And as a result, the out of hunger, the larger beasts will come in and devour and eat the humans.
Right.
Especially the children.
Right.
It's funny, when I was in Maine, the deer are walking down the main street.
Yeah.
They have no fear. Have no fear.
Until hunting season, and then they disappear. Yeah. They seem to know when.
I know when.
Okay, so let's go on to the fifth seal.
When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out in a loud voice, O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been.
Okay, the main two things here would be another group of people, which I refer to as the martyrs of the tribulation. And we talked about them before, but they are saved people. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. So we don't have to guess, right? What does it mean that their souls are under the altar? You think literally, first of all, they're going to be in what kind of bodies?
Spirit.
Well, okay, the white robe, that's their spirit body, right? Okay. Now, do you think they're actually all lying under the altar in heaven, in the temple?
No.
No. So why does it say under the altar?
Well, in here it says reference to the altar of incense, which pictured the saints' prayers.
Yes. Keep going. Okay. Yeah, they're making the request, which is like a prayer, sure. But why? It has to do with redeeming. Altars is where sacrifices would take place in redeeming. If it's this altar with the incense represent the prayers of the saints. Right? And being fulfilled. So, they are literally not there. It's symbolic, and it correlates to God dealing with those who took their lives. By the one who took the life of another, by another will his blood be shed. Right? So they're going to have to deal with this literally. And they're wondering how long before this. Now remember, this fifth seal comes along here. So we're getting, if there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we're getting close to the first half of the first half. Right? 1/4. So a number of them have been killed. It would be very discouraging if you were on the earth during this time, received the Lord, you see what's happening, you would have a zeal to reach other people, wouldn't you? Right. And then to see your group being killed, you would be very, very concerned about that. Yes, and that's the question they ask. And what is the answer given?
Rest a little longer.
Okay, now what does rest mean? Peace. Yeah. We have our rest in the Lord. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. That peace. In other words, don't look back here. Look here now. You've got your Bible. There are a lot of other people here, and they're going to be worshiping the Lord. Come and worship the Lord. Right? Because he said there is a certain number that's going to come in. God knows, and he's waiting for that. He's not going to allow somebody during this time not to get saved that he knows is going to come. Right? Now, till the numbers come in. That shows God is very specific, right? Sure. Okay, let's go to seal number 6. Right at this point.
Paul, at this point in time, quite a number of people, a large portion of the earth has been killed in earthquakes and various other reasons, and they're down to essentially a subsistence level. So, like the downtrodden in the early times, I think they would be more receptive to Christ, to the Word.
Well, that'll be answered in just a little bit to see how receptive they really are.
Yeah.
Okay, read this one. You would think so.
The sixth seal, I looked and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?"
Now, could be an earthquake, and most likely there have been before at the special times, so I believe this could be a literal thing. But it ends by saying all this about the not being able to see the sun and the moon looking red and the stars falling. Now, whether the stars literally fall, I don't think so. I think it's because they appear to disappear. Mm-hmm. Now, so we have a lot of stuff in the atmosphere. We know that an earthquake, unless it's volcanic involved, is not going to produce that. Right? We know that volcanic eruptions could produce a blockage in that. But also when it talks about the scroll, because there's another place in the Bible talks about their eyes rotting in their socket and so on so forth, it could be nuclear, because the next war is a nuclear war. So I think this now begins the nuclear part of this by those words like the scroll, mushroom cloud. And that would definitely do that if there was some of that. You know that there's so much today that's so close to buttons being pushed. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Because if you study this, you will find that in the U.S. and Russia and Israel were the main ones with nuclear. And then you had NATO having it as well. But it wasn't until Russia collapsed and the KGB were out of work, and a lot of the high officials didn't have income, they stole a lot of that and sold it to Iran. Iran even has some nuclear submarines of Russia. Right? Okay, and then from there it gets to Pakistan, India, and China, whatever else. The mindset of a Western mind is different, even with the Russians. Remember when Khrushchev took his shoe off and pounded it and said that he was going to bury the U.S.? He was removed from office. They didn't want anybody crazy. When Nixon was under the impeachment proceedings, before he resigned, he was on alcohol and tranquilizers and delirious. and they protected the black box from him. From him going crazy and setting it off. So the Western world has a logic that says, I'm not going to destroy myself just to get at you. Right? That is not the thinking in India, because they believe in reincarnation. They're going to come back better because of what they've done. The same thing with the Muslims, because then they're instantly in heaven because they've been martyred. So they have a whole different view on using nuclear than the West has and Russia. Actually, the world was safer when Russia was the Soviet Union and strong, and the U.S. was strong, and they were at a standstill. The world was safer. Really was. Now, the wall came down, and they got evangelized. That's probably why, you know, God would bring it down, to bring the Bible in, get the gospel, reach these people. And Eastern Europe, the same thing. You got to remember what God's plan's doing. But it actually destabilized the world and bringing us to the point where we are today. Well, what else then did Joanne read about these people? What are they doing? Who are they and what are they doing? They're not at rest.
They hide themselves.
They hide themselves.
In caves.
In the caves.
Okay, now, and they identify who with what's happening. He who sits on the throne, who's that? The Father. And then it talks about the Lamb. That's why we know that the other is the Father, this is Jesus. It's the wrath of God. There are people that know quite a bit about the Bible and the Lord and His ministry, but still choose to have the power of Satan that Satan promises. They don't understand Satan, that he's a deceiver. He wants you to destroy yourself and others. What he does. He will work hard to get you to sin, and as soon as you sin, he's in your face to accuse you. He's your accuser, not Jesus. That's how evil it is. Getting somebody to come and do something, and as soon as they do it, you jump on them. Right?
Yes.
That's what he does. It's not the Lord. Guilt and all that, it's not the Lord. Yes, we get convicted as a believer when we sin, so that we'll confess and repent and get the enemy out of the way. Make sense?
Sure.
Okay, so a lot of the world is trying to hide from this, and they'd rather face death than face the Lord. But he hasn't even returned yet. Right? This is just getting into this. And they already are seeing this situation. Isn't that an awesome thing? Now certainly the believers are not going to be doing that. And the 144,000 evangelists. But they may not be able to do much evangelizing when they're all in the caves and everything. But so what does this tell you? When Mel said, you think they'd be really open to the gospel with all this? And the answer is no. You have to go to Exodus and look at the Pharaoh. Because what happened? Who hardened Pharaoh's heart?
God.
You don't want to play games with God. The Antichrist is playing a game with God. Right? Most likely he's heard about the church and things like that. He's probably alive today, living in Europe somewhere.
But he doesn't know it.
No. No. He will
neither do we.
He will come to power Because the world is in a mess. The EU is already reaching into its first major crisis of economics. Yep.
George Soros has probably done more damage to the economic system in the world in order to gain personal power. His very life, as a Jew, he denied his Jewish heritage and helped the Nazis confiscate Jewish property.
Yes.
And I often wonder if he has a very close relative or a son who will step into his shoes, and because he's coming from the right part of the world.
Okay. Well, let's answer our questions. What's question one?
When take place.
Okay.
First 3.5 years. Of the tribulation.
Let's take a look at the scenario when this begins. Now, just to recap the whole picture. The war, one, was Psalm 83. Took out Israel's immediate enemies around them, the Muslim, Islamic. Okay. So Israel is expanded. Ezekiel 38, 39 took out Russia and its allies. So what we have is left is Israel, and you have Saudi Arabia, which is a very minor thing, and you have Russia and all those groups without armies and leadership has been disarrayed. But you have the kings over here in the east. They haven't been involved yet. And here you have the Western world, and over here the Western world of Canada and the U.S. Doesn't say much about Mexico, Central and South America. So they're going to be involved in this all this destruction and stuff, but as far as a key player, they're not going to be. Eastern Europe is not going to be either. We have to look at NATO. I believe the Antichrist comes out of NATO. NATO countries. In the United Europe, there are many, many countries, more than 10. But there are only 10 NATO nations in Europe, called the Western European Bloc. That's the power of the United Europe. It's traditionally been Germany, France, and England. England's very weak right now. France and Germany are calling a lot of the shots for United Europe. Right? But the center of the new Europe is in Brussels. The parliament and everything is in Brussels. So who are these 10? Well, if you go up into Scandinavia, Sweden has always been neutral. There's another neutral country over here. Starts with an S. Switzerland. Okay, so we have this country, Norway, and up here, Denmark. We have Germany, France, and England has Ireland, Scotland. I don't know about Wales, they're insignificant, I guess. And so who else do we have? We have Belgium, and the Netherlands. Now do we have 10? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got one.
Spain and
Austria. No, not Spain.
Okay.
Austria. And in the other NATO country, that's the European group, we have Canada and the U.S. and Australia, and that is kind of Western world, but they're not part of NATO. So you have Western Europe, let's say, the U.S. and Canada, is going to be the Western group or the Antichrist group. Does that make sense? Whether we're really involved or less, whatever shape we're in, I don't know what, but that's where it's going to be. But predominantly Western Europe. So you have Israel, Saudi Arabia still around, but Saudi Arabia, remember, is asking the question, with the Tarshish and the young lions. So this is Tarshish and the Saudi Arabia, Tarshish and the young lions. Make sense? So you can just call this the Antichrist Confederation. And then you still have Israel sitting here. This part has all been wiped out. So obviously the Antichrist is going to be trying to solidify the power here. So he's going to be going out trying to do this. And of course, coming in here, he protects Israel now during that first half. And we read later where he's coming over into Africa because, that's South America. Coming into Africa, remember, because Egypt is disarray, Libya, and Sudan are disarray. So he's going to be doing a lot of that, but he's circumventing Israel until the middle of the tribulation. So that's what the world is going to look like prior to War 3. Because this is the way it's left after the first two wars. You follow me? These people out here eventually get tired of the Antichrist gaining control over all this. All the oil? Well, that's when they come in, but that's not until war number 8. So all this other now is going to be what's going on with this new configuration where a lot of the world is without leadership. And armies and such. So he's going to be trying to solidify, including Central and South America.
Could you go over those 10 Confederate nations again?
Yeah. Norway, you have Norway. And
Denmark.
Sweden is neutral. Finland is more into this Russian thing, and they're not.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have then Germany,
France,
Belgium,
uh-huh.
Netherlands. England, Ireland, Scotland.
Austria.
And Austria.
Is Luxembourg counted in?
I don't think so. They're kind of with the Swiss.
Yeah.
It's kind of part of the Swiss group. Okay, that's the 10. Sometimes it's called the European bloc, or the Western is called the WEU. Yeah. They're the ones that are really have the economics and whatever. And they have the infrastructure. Do you remember as the wall came down, you had a big problem in Germany of taking a very poor country and merging it with one that was higher.
Yeah.
And they really had been... And you had the same thing with the whole Eastern Bloc. They don't have the infrastructure and all that. And they've had to kind of do those things. But they're way behind. But that's the power vacuum situation. You can see it logically makes sense. And you have an expanded Israel, which has, the Bible says that before the end of the end, Israel's going to be extremely prosperous with a lot of more land and its oil, for one thing. Plus, they're going to discover probably their own oil in the Dead Sea. So, of course, the Antichrist has got to do something here, so he makes his peace with Israel, and then he tries to gain control of all that land. Yeah.
On the news last night, all they talked about was France and Germany trying to solve this European economic problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And England used to be a key player.
Not anymore.
No. Yeah. Okay, and why?
Because of what they did to Israel.
Yeah, so what they did to Israel, they first were blessed because they gave Israel in the Balfour Accord a lot of land, including Jordan today. And then because of oil, they went down and took away two-thirds of what they'd given them.
Yeah.
And now they're part of the quartet with Tony Blair.
Yeah.
And so God has allowed the Muslims to pour into England. I know I haven't been to London for a few years now, but I was surprised to see how many Mercedes were running around town with Arabs.
Yeah.
They bought up. It's their playground. I mean, you talk about immorality of these wealthy oil people. They're up here. They aren't going to fornicate with Muslim women. It's going to be Gentile because they're infidels. See, the whole thing is they will allow a Muslim man to marry a non-Muslim woman. Right? And not from their culture. Because it takes the baby factories out of production for their enemies. Reproduction has a lot to do with their strategy of taking over the world. Right? But if a woman, Muslim woman, were to marry a Christian or something like that, they'll try to kill her. They wouldn't. But anyway, they're up there doing all their alcohol and drugs and everything. Every time we've gone into a country, when you went into Iraq and went into his palaces, what did you find? You found alcohol and everything else. The same thing at Gaddafi. And yet these leaders claim to be strong Muslims and they're putting people to death because they had a beer.
It's interesting to watch Sarkozy of France because he's really clamping down on the Muslims now. He wants to stop the burqas. He does not want Sharia law to enter in. He's really giving them some problems.
Yeah. Yes.
The Muslims.
There has to be. There has to be that happening or the Bible could not be fulfilled.
You know what's surprising to me? Israel has the nuclear capacity to wipe all these Muslim nations off the face of the map. And Israel doesn't use that as a threat, but she could to intimidate them. But it's never happened that way.
Well, the indication is that when the war won, it's going to be conventional. Israel has enough capabilities conventionally. It doesn't take much to wipe out Jordan. It's the power of Jordan. These people aren't that well organized.
That's true.
Look at Iraq. How long did it take to deal with Iraq with conventional weapons?
Not long, a couple of days.
No.
Less than a week.
When I was in Saudi Arabia, my best friend became a best friend was a man from England. And he was head of logistics for our engineering division of the oil company. And he told me, he watched me at work. Because he said, most Americans, if they have a PhD and all that, they don't know anything. They just come over here and, fool around. He said, a lot of the British do the same thing. But he said, I've been watching you, you actually work. You do an honest day's work and so on. So we went to lunch together and he said, do you live here in North Camp? Yeah. So he got me into the fact we need to walk, get exercise. Otherwise, you get sick and crazy and stuff like that. So he'd been overseas for years. His children were growing up. His wife was their financier and he sent the money back. She invested it because they wanted to retire and open up a bread and breakfast in southern England. Well, before I lose my train of thought. Okay. As we do on our walks, he said, you give me so many British commandos, I could take over Saudi Arabia, in 36 hours. I said, well, how would you do it? So he described it step by step by step by step. Well, as I watched Desert Storm, I saw all those steps. He was an advisor to the Royal Air Force. Even though he was retired from the Air Force, he was working in the different oil countries. He worked in Borneo, Iran, Iraq, and now Saudi Arabia. So he knows the places. So one day I was watching the evening news with Schwarzkopf. Standing next to him was my friend John Hackney, representing the British. So I don't know if Schwarzkopf had all the ideas, but I know my friend, whatever he said, told me, actually I saw happening. Somebody want to close this with prayer?
Can I make a comment? Yahoo Mail this morning, the United States is telling Israel, do not make the first strike.
Right.
So you can see Israel is still controlled by the United States yet. But I wonder for how long.
Well, I personally think the reason is that they don't want the Arab world to